Good. All righty, we'll continue our lesson on the will. If you would, turn with me to Philippians, the second chapter. Last time we were together, we began to talk about the will and how the will being the last aspect of the soul, and it is the one that makes decisions. It is the one part of the soul, part of the mind that feeds off the other four and makes a decision. This is why we went over the other four first, because the will feeds off the other four, and if any of the other four are off balance, then your power to make decisions will be off. So we understand that. Being that man without Christ is in a fallen state, it is impossible for our will to make the right decision unless it is infused with the will of God. Without the will of God being infused into our will, it is impossible to make the right decisions. How I know this? We go to Genesis, the first chapter. Go there. Genesis, the first chapter. Now watch this. Here's where a lot of people get thrown off with being children of God. And the Bible also says, as God is, so are we in this world. All right, but here's where people get thrown off at. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. We're created in the image of God. We're not created God. So by us being created in the image of God, that means that we have been made how God thought we should be made, but then we have to allow God to fill us. If we do not allow God to fill us, we will not be able to operate like him. We will make decisions like him, but we can't operate like him. This is why Adam and Eve fell, because they began to get information about whose image they are from somebody else. And when they got that information from somewhere else, that information affected their will. So here God is saying, hey, you can eat off any tree in the garden. Listen to me, internet. You can eat off any tree in the garden. But this here tree of knowledge of good and evil, you cannot eat from. And what does Satan comes and do? Satan comes and began to affect the other aspects of their soul, so that when it came time for Adam and Eve to look at the fruit, one thing Eve says, it was pleasant to the eyes. It seems good. It seemed like it would be okay. And so now here we are with God-like abilities without God being involved, and we cannot make the right decision. Does that make sense? So God gave us the ability and the right to make decisions, but if we don't have him involved in our will, we will never make the right decisions. Two of the most powerful words, as you read, that you will ever come across for the human language is yes and no. And you have the power to say both. To say yes when you need to say yes, and say no when you need to say no. So the question is, if I know to say yes when I'm supposed to say yes and say no when I'm supposed to say no, well, how come I be saying no when I'm supposed to be saying yes and saying yes when I'm supposed to be saying no? That's because we're trying to operate in God-like abilities without God's will, without his determination, without his influence. And so this is why you have people that become rebellious, people that go that just want to go opposite of everything. It's because that fallen state of man, and they're not affected with the will of God. Well, I told you Philippians 2. Philippians 2, turn there. Philippians 2. As we begin to understand more and more about how our mind works, it's easier for us to understand how and why we have power over sin, and sin does not have power over us. Some Christians believe that once they get born again, that's it. No, when you get born again, that's where the work begins. Even though old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new, if you don't acclimate yourself to the new things, you're going to still do the old things. That's why you have Christians that practice sin. It's because they haven't taken the time to acclimate themselves to the new things that have come into their lives. Philippians 2, let's see, verse 12, I think it is. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, and not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13, watch this. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So here we see that word will. It says, here, watch what it says. It says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That means God is working in us to help us make the right decision. If we, I think it's James 4, verse 17, resist the devil, submit yourself to God. That's first thing. Resist the devil, and what he'll do? He'll flee from you. So I have to first submit myself to God. That's the one error that Adam and Eve made. They did not submit themselves to God. So when, thank you, Holy Spirit. So when you do not submit yourself to God, you have God-like abilities with the incapabilities of making God-like decisions. So it's almost as if you have power and don't know how to handle it. Why? Because God is the only one that can show us how to be God. If we're made in his image and in his likeness, that means we're not made gods. We're made in his likeness. We're made in his image. And as long as he is both working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure, then every decision that we make in our lives will work out for us and for our betterment. Are you seeing this? So the words yes and no are only, they're powerful, but we will only be able to use them right when we submit ourselves to God. Only when you submit yourself to God, listen to me, that only when you submit yourself to God can you resist the devil. Without submitting to God, you can't resist. Let's see what the word is submit. Submit means to bring it down a notch. I ain't all that. Submit means I think I know, but I better check with God first. Submit means whatever I thought I should be doing, let me bring this to God and see if this is what I'm supposed to be doing. If this is a decision that I think ought to be made, let me bring it to God. Isaiah 1. Turn there. Isaiah 1, we like verse 19, but I love verse 18. Verse 18, we read the scripture a number of times in this class. Come now and let us reason together, saith who? The Lord. Though your actions, the Bible says sins, but it means your actions, be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Are you seeing this? Other words, submit. Submit means I don't make haste decisions without first checking with God. I check with God first. I submit. I'm confident this is what I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm going to yield it to God and make sure that's what I'm supposed to be doing. When I do that, I'm now able to resist the devil and all his ploys. Give case in point. It wasn't that God did not want Adam and Eve to know evil. He was going to expose them to evil, but he was going to expose them to evil in a protected state. How I know they're going to be exposed to evil? Because eventually they're going to be loosed into the darkness to go be fruitful and multiply. See, the Garden of Eden, as we talked about this before, the Garden of Eden was a place on the earth. It wasn't the whole earth. It was a place in the earth that God had recreated to give man an example of what kind of dominion he and she had to go out into the outer darkness and recreate what they've been exposed to. So they were going to have to face evil. They were going to have to face darkness. But God wanted to expose them to evil in his protected state. So what Adam and Eve did was, instead of waiting on God to expose them, they wanted to expose themselves and didn't have the power to handle what they was exposed to. Is that making sense? So when I submit myself, when I submit my ideas, when I submit my decisions to God, I'm now able to resist the devil. And once he's resisted, he's got to go. I'm not giving... You know what it means to submit yourself to God? When you submit yourself to God, that means, watch this, all your focus, your attention, your energies, everything is focused on him. When you're focused on him, that simply means you have no attention span for anything else. When you have no attention span for anything else, that means everything else is being ignored. I don't know about you. But when I'm ignored, I don't like to hang around. That's what happens when you submit yourself to God. When you submit to God, that means your focus, your energy, your ideas are submitted to him and focused on him. And when that happens, you pay Satan no attention. So when you pay him no attention, he has to leave. Jesus practiced this in Matthew's the fourth chapter. Turn there. Jesus gave us an example of this in the fourth chapter of Matthew. The fourth chapter of Matthew and the third verse. Same exact scenario as in Genesis, the third chapter. Same exact scenario. There's a parallel here. Jesus could not become our Savior until he went through the same thing Adam and Eve did and conquered it. So here we go through this, talking about the will now. Here we go through the same exact scenario. Verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. First of all, if you be the Son of God. Jesus was already aware that he was the Son of God. So it's not about if, it's I am. So if he knows who he is already, why he got to prove it to anybody else? Are you seeing this? It's talking about submit yourself to God. When you submit your, he already knew he was the Son of God. He already was aware of that. So when Satan came to him, with this statement, he was already submitted to God. Already, all God's ideas about him he had received. All his ideas he had for himself were submitted to God. When that happened, he's able to resist the devil. Watch how he responds to him. He said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Are you seeing this? Jesus is establishing, I am submitted to God. Satan, you're messing with the wrong one. My will is not your will. It is God working in me to do his will and of his good pleasure. You seeing this? Verse 5, then the devil taking him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. All Jesus is concerned about is pleasing God. He's not concerned about pleasing anybody else or doing anything else but pleasing God. That's from him being in a submitted position. God, it's not my will, but thy will be done. I'm making a decision that I ain't all that. I don't know it all. I don't care how intelligent I am. God, I am submitting my will to you. When he submitted his will to him, Jesus was able to answer Satan in that way. Now remember, it is very important for Jesus to deal with Satan now at this moment, because the same exact, if Jesus had not done this, then our will would be shot forever. We couldn't make the right decision. We wouldn't have no grounds to stand on. We wouldn't have no power to back us up. We wouldn't have the divine insight to make the right decisions. But because Jesus is showing us how to submit ourselves to the Father, and he's showing us when we submit, we can resist. Are you seeing this? Verse 8, and again, the devil taking him up again into an exceeding high mountain and show him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. Because Jesus did this, we now have proof that we can make the right decisions, and God's will can override our will and cause us to do right. Are you seeing this? If Jesus had not done this, then we would have no power whatsoever to make the right decisions. Because Jesus did this, and he lives where? On the inside of us. Because of that, we now have divine power to make the right decisions. Are you seeing this? When we submit ourselves to God, we automatically resist the devil. How? If I'm going after God, I ain't got time to go after nothing else. See, that once again, I'm going over this again. This is the problem I have with the hyper grace message. The hyper grace message doesn't tell you you have to pursue holiness. It tells you just holy already. You got to pursue holiness. You have to pursue righteousness. Even though I am the righteousness of God, I have to pursue him. Even though I am holy, I have to pursue holiness. If I don't, that means my attention span is somewhere else. That means I'm no longer submitted. I think I'm all that. So now it's me again in the same position. That's how sin exists. Sin exists when we think we can make decisions without the help of God. That's how sin comes in. Sin comes in when we think we can make decisions without the help of God. When we think we can face situations without God's help. when we think we can bite off the tree of knowledge, good and evil, and we can handle what we're about to face on our own. That's when sin comes about. That's when our will is shot. So Paul, in that seventh chapter of Romans, began to talk about, I want to do right, but then I don't do right. When I don't want to do wrong, he started talking about all that stuff. But then he came to Romans, the eighth chapter. Turn there. Talking about the will. The will, if you do not know how to handle your will, or not, let me phrase that because I'm saying it wrong. Not so much you handling your will, it's about you submitting your will. See, your will is powerful all by itself. Watch this. Your will, listen to me, Benedict, your will is so powerful that God would not violate it. Your will is so powerful that God would not violate it. All God could do when Adam and Eve ate off the tree of knowledge of good and evil, all God can do is tell them, listen, I love you, but you can't stay here. You got to go. And he put them in he kicked them out the garden. Because God said, man has become like us. Other words, man is trying to be like us without us. And this ain't going to work. Because God is the only true being that is honest through and through. That's it. Everything else that's not affected by him going to have some element of foolishness. All right, let yourself go a couple days without reading the Word of God. Just go a couple days without praying. Go. Just go a week. Don't open your Bible. Don't open your Bible. Don't pray. Don't do nothing. You just come to church, but don't pray. Don't open your Bible. Don't do nothing. And you watch yourself on day seven. By day seven, it's going to be chaotic because really you lost it after day one. You just didn't know it yet. Are you seeing this? Your will submitted to the will of God. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. When your will is submitted to the will of God, you will always make the right decision. Always make the right decision. When your will is submitted to the will of God, you will always make the right decision. Always. Well, I told you to turn. Romans 8, watch this. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now let's break this down. For the law of the Spirit of life, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That Spirit is capitalized, meaning that is a person. Talking about the Holy Spirit. And so watch this. It says, for the law of the Holy Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Spirit capitalized. Spirit capitalized. You see that? Spirit capitalized, meaning Holy Spirit. I walk after the Holy Spirit. So could it be that for me to submit myself to God means I have to follow after the Holy Spirit? Following after the Holy Spirit submits me to God. Following after the Holy Spirit causes me to yield to God. When I yield to God, that means I now can resist the devil. And when the devil is resisted, he has to flee. Is this making sense? It's not so much of you. Having to enforce your right decision is you have to make the right decision and the Holy Spirit will help you enforce it. There are times when we'll be tempted for whatever reason it may be. But when we are tempted, if we are submitted to God, we're following after the Holy Spirit. Not that we don't make mistakes, but we're following after the Holy Spirit. When we're following after the Holy Spirit, we are submitted to God. When we're submitted to God, we can resist the devil. When we resist the devil, it makes decision-making a whole lot easier. Is that making sense? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, or the rule, or the way to do this. That's another way for putting a rule. The way to do this is to adhere to the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, meaning the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, it is impossible. This is why people who do not adhere to the Holy Spirit, you know, they got people that don't, it's Christians, not people, let me say this, Christians that don't recognize the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is just another part of the Trinity. When the Holy Spirit is the very one that helps us fulfill the Bible. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't do nothing the Bible says. Jesus said, I must go, but then I'm going to leave a comforter. Watch this. He's going to show you things to come. He's going to show you things you didn't know. 1 Corinthians 2. Verses 9 and 10. I had not seen, ear had not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But it is revealed unto us by his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Ye have an unction, and ye know all things. The unction is the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, it is impossible for your will to make the right decisions. This is why praying in the Holy Spirit, we talked about it so much the last couple of weeks, praying in the Holy Spirit is important. This is why being filled, this is why Jesus told them in Acts, go to Acts. That's what Jesus said. Acts, the first chapter. Jesus, watch this, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. That they should not depart from Jerusalem. That they should not depart from Jerusalem. But wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. This is out of the mouth of Jesus. He told them, don't leave Jerusalem. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. Verse 8. But ye shall receive what? Power. Come on, internet. Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Are you seeing this? And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto all the uttermost parts of the earth. Without the infilling of the Holy Spirit, we cannot be witnesses. If I cannot witness, or if I cannot attest to Jesus without the Holy Spirit, what makes you think I can make the right decisions without the Holy Spirit? Praying in the Holy Spirit is what helps us with our will. Go to Jude 20. We're going over scriptures that we've gone over already, but I want you to see these in the light of dealing with your will, dealing with your decision-making power. Jude 20. If you're in Jude, the second chapter, then you got the wrong Bible. Jude 20. what it says. Read it with me. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, how? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Notice the word building up. Building up, meaning to strengthen. Without the Holy Spirit, you will be pressed hard to make the right decisions. It's just that simple. It doesn't get any harder than that. Without praying the Holy Spirit, you will be hard pressed to make the right decisions. Oh, yes, you can make the easy ones. Thou shalt not kill. Oh, that's an easy one. Thou shalt not steal. Oh, that's an easy one. Yeah, I know I ain't supposed to steal. But oh, when it comes down to something that gets you, that what Satan can tempt you at. What is that thorn in your flesh? Notice now, Paul asked God to remove the thorn. God said no. God ain't never even mentioned the thorn no more. God said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. My empowerment is good enough for you to make the decision not to do what this thorn in the flesh is asking you to do. Are you seeing this? There's a lesson here to be learned, that when we pray in the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to overcome that thorn in the flesh. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot overpower that thorn in the flesh, whatever it may be. Every last one of us have that thorn in the flesh. Why we have? Are you in the flesh? There's a thorn. You still can pinch this? There's a thorn there. There's a thorn somewhere in that flesh. And God did not remove that thorn, not because he can't remove it, it's because he wants us to rise above it by depending on him. Once again, I'm not all that. I cannot make the right decision without the influence of the Holy Spirit. I cannot make the right decision without God in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. I'm not all that. My will is powerful, but if I take the steering wheel, I'm sure enough going to jack it up. My will is powerful. My will causes things to happen. My will causes me to get into situations. My will causes me to get out of situations. So why go through all that? Just submit it to God. Jeremiah 29:11, we'll close here. Jeremiah 29:11. This is why it's so wonderful. This is why God is so wonderful. Our country, although it's a wonderful country, and I'm thankful for our country because it gives me the opportunity to stand on and walk in what I believe, the freedom of religion. Having said that, the aspect of our country where we get to vote and do all that stuff, we sometimes like to carry it over into the supernatural. That don't work in the supernatural. Ain't no vote in the supernatural. Ain't no God, I want to do it this way, and I want you to back it up. Ain't no voting in the supernatural. Ain't none of that in the supernatural. In the supernatural, it is God has already predetermined. God has already predetermined, and watch this, and I choose to be involved with what he's predetermined. Now, you can choose not to. That's the power of your will. And a lot of people choose not to. But when you submit yourself to God, what you're saying is, God, I choose to be a part of your predetermined plan. Watch this. What I told you to turn? Jeremiah 29:11. Watch this now. We're finna run on a little quick trail. 29:11. Watch this. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. God has already thought our lives out. There's a place he expects us to be. But if we don't submit our wills to him, see, our lives are a collection of decisions. That's all our lives are a collection of decisions. From where we start from point A to get to point Z. Wherever we wind up at Z, between A and Z, it's a collection of decisions that we've made. Here it is, God say, I know. This was written way back before any of us was thought. That was written in the present moment. So that means at that moment, God knew before you were born the thoughts that he was thinking towards you. How we know he used Jeremiah's example. He said, Jeremiah, I knew the thoughts already that I've thought about you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an, watch this, an expected end. So that means there is an alternative end that we can wind up in. Now, what would make us wind up in an alternative end besides the expected end? Our decisions. Decisions that weren't submitted to God's will. Decisions that were not influenced by God being in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Ephesians, the first chapter. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, past tense, blessed, ED, past tense, us with all spiritual blessings in heaven-like places. Not heaven, heaven-like places in Christ. Look at this now, colon, it wasn't finished. According as he had chosen us in him, before the what? Foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Here it is. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Has blessed us with all spiritual blessings before the foundations of the world, predestinated to his will. Predestinated to his decision that he's already made about us. The question is, are we going to accept his decisions that he's made towards us? That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Because eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the mind of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But it is revealed unto us by his Spirit. So if I don't acknowledge the Holy Spirit, then it's impossible for me to submit myself to God. If I can't submit myself to God, then it's going to be impossible for me to resist the devil. We've seen this acted out in a negative way. We've seen it act out in a positive way. Genesis, we see it in a negative way. They did not submit themselves to God. So therefore, their will made a decision that caused them to be disconnected from God. But then Jesus came back in Matthew's fourth chapter, submitted his will to God. Remember, all his answers to Satan was, "What? It's about God. It's about him." And he was able to resist the devil, and the devil had no power over him. I'll see y'all next week.